Hey, listen, I was talking about the, you know, what, cuddly clothing. Was that what it was in your snuggly clothing? Heather was sharing with me last night, and I have never heard this before, that in the King James Version it talks about swaddling clothes. Now, she was on a Jewish website that was talking about what swaddling clothes were. And apparently it was a, as it were, a significant sign to the shepherds, because when they have their lambs born, they wrap them in swaddling clothes. Okay? And so when they said that this newborn king was wrapped in swaddling, they knew the importance of this baby. Amazing. You know, I always blindsided after having read the Word of God for more than 30 odd years. I am constantly blindsided by its authorship, its brilliance. You know, if we were to sit down, I think, and write, let's say we wanted to invent a new religion, and we wanted to sit down and write a so-called Bible, the so-called truth, we wouldn't have written anything like this. Would you have invented, would you have thought, oh, I think I'll make a baby born in a manger somewhere that's, you know, no, that we don't think that way. We don't think in a bunny rug. In a bunny, oh, and I'm, yeah, I'll wrap him in a bunny rug. From Targa. From Tajay. Well, let's all just bow our hearts for a moment in prayer as we come round the Word this morning. Lord, what a precious day it is. What a precious day it is. We thank you for your being here, Lord, where two or more are gathered in your name, and surely we are gathered in your name. We may be few in number, but Lord, us plus God is a majority. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, that we might have, by believing in you, the guarantee of eternal life. The Holy Spirit is now our comforter, God with us, until you come again, Lord, and receive us unto yourself. And we give you praise, and we ask, Lord, that our ears be open and our hearts be good ground this morning as we read and share this morning's message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. My message this morning is entitled, The History of Christmas, Its Biblical Roots. And in sharing this message, I want to honor my longtime mentor, a man I never met. A man that has inspired me. A man named Mr. Chuck Missler, who this year is spending Christmas in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Chuck, as many of us know, passed away on the 1st of May this year, 2018. Which just happened to be my mother's birthday. And by the way, she too is spending Christmas with the Lord this year. Hallelujah. Many Christians believe Christmas Day should not be an event celebrated on any Christian calendar because of its supposed pagan roots. Yet, does the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ itself have anything to do with paganism? Is it just that the Christian holiday of Christmas is celebrated at the wrong time of the year? And in truth, every day of the year, of course, is a good day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, those of us who are Bible students, it's more likely that Jesus was born on or close to within the period of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is one of the seven feasts that God instituted to the nation of Israel to remember him, and more probably on the Feast of Trumpets, which places his birthday somewhere in the September-October period of our Gregorian annual calendar. Nevertheless, Jesus' birth was foretold centuries prior in the Hebrew Scriptures, or what we call our Old Testament of the Bible. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son to redeem mankind. He sent Jesus as a little baby to become God with us. I wouldn't have thought to have written that in my book. Isaiah 7 verse 14, written 600 years before Jesus was born and was in circulation and common knowledge when Jesus was actually born, reads as follows. Therefore, the Lord himself
will give you a sign. Watch. The virgin is conceiving a child and will give birth to a son. And his name will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Again, in the ancient book of Isaiah, we read in Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7, and we have sung it here this morning. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father? Prince of Peace. Of the growth of his government and peace, there will be no end. Friends, much of that particular scripture has not yet come to pass. Then in the New Testament Gospel of Luke 1, verses 30 to 32, we read the following. Then the angel told her, "Stop being afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son. And you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Friends, I've heard people say, "Well, hang on, you're calling him Emmanuel, you're calling him Jesus. What's his name?" But you see, if you understand the Hebrew concept of names, names have meanings. You see, and Emmanuel meant God with us. And when God is with us, that's salvation. And the word Jesus means salvation. Hallelujah. It's the same name. About 1,950 years ago, the well-educated physician Luke wrote to a man named Theophilus, detailing the life of Jesus. Luke explained he had done a great deal of research on the subject so that Theophilus could know with certainty the things he, that is Theophilus, had been told about Jesus, and to know that they were in fact true. We find this information in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 4. To be able to say such a thing, Luke must have spoken to Mary herself. For he describes things only she would have known. Luke tells the birth of Jesus, how he was born in Bethlehem during a time when the entire Roman world was being taxed. Luke tells of how shepherds were out in the field when suddenly they were surprised by a host of angels in the heavens singing, "Glory to God in the highest." I've often thought about that. Would I have wanted to have been one of those shepherds? It must have been a terrifying experience. The shepherds immediately headed for Bethlehem and found the baby the angels had told them they would find, wrapped just as described, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. According to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, 8 through 18, I should say, those shepherds then told everybody about the incredible thing that they had witnessed that particular night. I suspect that if we had been granted the privilege of seeing such a sight in the heavens, followed by finding this special baby in a manger, just as we had been told, I suspect we wouldn't be able to keep our mouths shut about what had happened either. And another one of these things that we wouldn't have put in our books, we wouldn't have revealed the King of Glory to the most lowly of all peoples, the shepherds. We would have introduced them to perhaps the King or the Prime Minister or whatever. This special child called Jesus, he grew up and went on to have a short 3-year ministry that ended in his death on a Roman cross. Yet this man born in Bethlehem rose again from the dead. And that's pretty significant. I'm going to say that again. He rose again from the dead. That's why you're sitting here this morning. If the tomb still contained the bones of Jesus Christ, we would not be here. He rose again from the dead and was seen alive by over 500 people, according to the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Corinthian church. And that particular description is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 6. Although an unbelieving world has been trying to dismiss this miraculous and historical event as untrue for some 2,000 years now, Jesus, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, continues to change the hearts and lives of men and women everywhere, all over the world. I find it fascinating that I come across people in the Christian church who have had such different backgrounds to me, from different countries, from different cultures, yet we all come together believing the same thing. That's miraculous, isn't it? Without being coerced. The early Christians are not known to have celebrated Christ's birthday. That's interesting. And the actual date of his nativity has, it seems, as I alluded to earlier, it has been lost to history. The first recorded mention of the 25th of December is in the calendar of Philocalus, AD 354, which assumed Jesus' birth date to be Friday, the 25th of December, AD 1. That was the assumption. Pope Julius I officially proclaimed the 25th of December to be the anniversary of Christ's birth in AD 440. That's a fair way after the first mention of the 25th of December. The giving of the 25th of December Christian significance has been understood to have been a sincere effort by past Christians to help the pagan world embrace Christianity and trade in their worship of pagan gods for the one true God. Originally, Christmas Day was called the Feast of the Nativity. This custom spread to Egypt around AD 432 and eventually to England by the end of the 6th century. By the year 800 or so, the celebration of Christmas had spread all the way to the Scandinavian countries to the north. In the Orthodox Church, the Greek Armenian Orthodox Church, Christ's birthday is honoured on Epiphany, or Three Kings Day, which is celebrated each year on the 6th of January. It is widely called Three Kings Day in memory of the wise men who gave the Lord Jesus Christ their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And just in that alone, there is a myriad of sermons. Of course, the Bible hints at the possibility that Jesus was almost 2 years of age, not just three, but many wise men arrived from the east to worship the Son of God. And I have preached in the past that that effort for those wise men to come from Babylon to Jerusalem wasn't just a straight line. They couldn't come through the Badlands. They had to go up around the Fertile Line to get there. It would have been as big an effort as travelling from Earth to the Moon in their day. It was a huge undertaking. Eventually, Christmas Day did largely win out over various pagan holidays, but was celebrated with rowdy festivals and practical jokes, a bit similar to what happens today. Consequently, the Christian Puritans in England outlawed Christmas for many years, and the holiday was not popular in early America either. In fact, Christmas wasn't declared a federal holiday in the United States until June of 1870. According to historical records, the first Christmas in Australia was celebrated in December 1788. So friends, the richness of the Christmas tradition in Australia goes a long way back. And on that particular occasion, it was almost one full year after the arrival of the first fleet at Sydney Cove. Sorry for my emotion. It's the occasion. I've never spoken before such a big old audience before. Reverend Richard Johnson, who travelled with the First Fleet, conducted services for Governor Arthur Phillip and his officers before they enjoyed Christmas supper. Unfortunately, for the convicts, they only received their daily ration of bread and water. And that surely doesn't sound like the Christmas spirit, does it? Eventually, Christmas Day underwent a conversion. It was reinvented into the more moderate or secular holiday season we know today. Authors Washington Irving and Charles Dickens both wrote tales that presented Christmas as a holiday of caring for the poor and bringing families together. After all, as the angels sang above the shepherds that first night about the birth of Jesus, God with us, Mr. Christmas himself, it was all about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So you can see where they got their theme from. The Christmas season is still a mixture of traditions pulled from a multitude of sources. While many of them have little to do with Jesus, most are still morally neutral activities. Many people today in Tenterfield and around the nation will celebrate Christmas and not mention Jesus. The thought of him will not even come into their minds, but there will be a moral, a heightening of morality in families today, where people will be good-willed towards one another, the exchanging of gifts, etc., etc. And surely that, as we alluded to last night, before Jesus was born, the pagan world had no hope, but we do today. And that hope still remains in people who don't yet believe in God. However, while Santa Claus continues to ho, 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 often on fire trucks all around the country, and Cadbury's continues to make a killing with special chocolate wrappings, and Woolworths, Coles, Myers and DJs are cherishing the flood of cash at this time of the year, the reality of Christ's birth continues to break through every now and again here in Australia, but particularly at the Christmas season. Christian churches fly the flag, today's event being one such example. Nativity scenes pop up here and there, bringing to mind the great gift of God, the King of Kings lying in a manger and visited by shepherds. Do you like our little display down here? And of course, who could forget the singing of Christmas carols? Carols heralding, "The Lord is come, and come let us adore him." All of which serve to remind us all of what God has done for you and I. Christmas in Australia remains a time when, thankfully, even in 2018, as darkness continues to slowly cloak our nation with godless ideology, people find it easier to speak more freely of Jesus the Saviour than at any other time. And that's true. Miraculously, Christmas still has the ability to attract non-practicing Christians to attend church services, of course, present company excluded. The Christmas season in Australia is truly a precious time slot that God has given us, during which the faithful in Christ can spread the good news of his Son. Glory to God in the highest. In 2018... may our celebration of the birth of Christ honour him who gave himself for us as the ultimate sacrifice of love. May everything we do reflect the love and compassion of our Saviour and bring glory to his name. Once again, everybody, Merry Christmas, and may you have a enjoyable, joyful, happy, but most of all, holy day today with family and friends. And to all that we might say, amen.